Dr. Steve Cohen, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Public Health and Community Medicine. He received his doctorate in public health from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in May 2008, where the focus of his research was on the social epidemiology and demography of aging. His current research focuses on population-level risk factors for infectious diseases in older adults and the impact the aging population will have on healthcare service utilization in the United States.
Thanks and good morning, everybody, and thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today, and thanks to all the other presenters this morning for those really interesting and important talks. So my talk's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more of a policy analysis, a policy recommendation analysis. Basically, the purpose of this talk is going to be to evaluate whether or not vaccinating older adults is effective at reducing flu and pneumonia in older adults. So, of course, I have to disclose that I have no financial relationships that I have that are worth mentioning. So just to give you a little background into the motivation behind this talk, the prevailing strategy is to vaccinate seniors against flu. And this has been up until about 2 or 3 years ago, this was the recommendation is to vaccinate flu, vaccinate seniors to prevent it in seniors. But the vaccination efficacy is actually pretty low compared to other population subgroups of different ages. So there's generally conflicting evidence whether or not this is effective. And a lot of studies have looked at on the individual level to look at that, to look at those associations. But their conclusions are kind of mixed, and their conclusions basically say that there's maybe some mortality or morbidity benefit, but it's really inconclusive. And again, most studies have used the individual as a unit of observation. So I'm going to take a population perspective. So what we looked at is on the county level, does increased vaccination in the elderly reduce PNI in older adults? And I looked particularly at Florida, and this is the reason why I looked at Florida isn't any particular reason other than the data were really readily available, more so than in other states, and they have a really great system, because I'm actually based in Massachusetts and I'm very jealous of the beautiful weather down there. So just to give you a little overview of the data sources and the variables that we used, for the outcomes, we used one season, we used from July of 2002 to June of 2003, so I'm not looking at the swine flu, H1N1, or the avian flu in 2004 and 5. So we looked at two different outcomes. One was overall an age-specific PNI and pneumonia and influenza in the population 65 and above. And we used CMS data for this, for hospitalizations. The selection criteria are listed there, those ICD-9 codes. And we also looked at mortality, cause-specific mortality from influenza. And those were from the CDC. And this we used for a selection criteria confirmed death from influenza. The predictor exposure variables were the percentage of those age 65 and above who received either influenza or pneumonia. We looked at both, and I'll show you those results. And the source for this was the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and I'll explain why it's not possibly the best source to use later. And this is all obtained from this great system that's Florida Charts, and I listed the website below if you're curious and want to check it out. It's a great website. So the methods that we used, we first used Spearman correlations. I'm not going to show you a lot of that. This is sort of some of the exploratory analysis. We use maps as visual tools to show the distribution of flu vaccination and flu cases. And for the main analysis, we used generalized linear models, SAS-PROC-GLIMICS, which was interesting learning experience for me. We used unit of analysis was a county. We used Poisson models. We adjusted for social and economic status and demographic factors, and we also assessed a spatial autocorrelation because of course counties being adjacent to each other, they're not. We can't necessarily assume that they're independent of each other. And we also looked at potential effect modification by age. We used SAS and ArcGIS, and it was IRB approved. So just here are some of the results from the maps. This is showing vaccination coverage for this particular season. On the left, we have influenza vaccination, and on the right, we have pneumonia vaccination. And as you can see, that's definitely not uniform throughout the state. It ranges from about 45% to about 75% for this particular year. And vaccination coverage was highest primarily in the cities. This is Orlando area. This is Miami, Dade County, Fort Lauderdale, the sort of the bigger cities. And up here, of course, is Jacksonville. So in the rural areas, vaccination coverage was a little bit lower, tended to be on the whole. Looking at the this is a hospitalization and mortality rates. Hospitalization is on the left, mortality rates are on the right. And actually, we found that the hospitalization rates were highest in the sort of the central and the more rural areas. But the mortality rates from PNI were strongest in the Dade County, Miami-Dade County, Broward County, and some of the surrounding areas of Jacksonville. Interestingly, most of the Panhandle as well. So, could be weather effects. We're not quite sure. I don't want to go there. But that's what we found so far. And this is just a graph of the hospitalization rate against the influenza vaccination coverage. And here, this is mortality against vaccination coverage. And as you can see, that there's, generally speaking, there's a very weak correlation between these variables, and this the size of the bubble represents the population size, so small, medium, and large. There's a very weak non-significant correlation. So here's the results sort of in one slide. It's kind of a busy slide, I realize, but I'll kind of break it down for you to show you, try to highlight some of the results that we found. So we have two vaccination types. On the top is influenza, and the bottom is pneumonia. And we looked at the two outcomes, hospitalization rate and mortality, so morbidity and mortality. We looked at overall, and here it is broken down by age. We have four different models that we looked at. We looked at the overall unadjusted rates, adjusted for SES. We looked at adjusted for spatial dependence, and we looked at both SES and spatial dependence together. I highlighted the significant values. The significant values in red, just to show you. When we look at the unadjusted rates, the unadjusted models, we find that there's actually a significant negative and pretty consistent negative correlation between the vaccination coverage and hospitalization rates, which is actually what you'd expect, because the more you vaccinate, the lower you found, which is actually good news, I guess. It's me, and even after we adjust for SES, those relationships for all ages as well remain significant. However, when you account for spatial dependence, those relationships kind of go away. And we only observed it in the hospitalization rate and not in mortality at all. And there's one model here that had that was adjusted with spatial dependence, and for some reason the 85 plus was significant, but nothing else was. They're all in the right direction, but the 85 plus, which we're not quite sure, because I would expect the opposite. If anything, that the 65 to 74, the younger age groups, would be more would have a higher correlation, but or higher association, I should say. And the same thing for pneumonia rates. We find actually overall there was no significant effect, but looking at specifically breaking it down by age, we did find significant negative effects, which is possibly good news. But once we adjusted for spatial dependence, those relationships went away again, and we found no effect again with mortality. So just to kind of summarize what we found. There were some significant negative associations, and what this means, what these Poisson models mean, is that if we just go back for one sec, when you see something like this, when it's negative 0.01, that means basically for each percentage point increase in vaccination coverage, we would expect roughly about a 1% decrease in PNI hospitalization rates. It's multiplicative. But once we adjusted for SES, those associations remained. But once we adjusted for spatial dependence, those relationships went away. And we found very little association between vaccination coverage and mortality from flu. So just to kind of list a couple of the strengths and limitations of this analysis, a lot of studies haven't really looked at area-level vaccination coverage. So this is one of the first that did look at that. We looked at both mortality and morbidity. And the database we used was Medicare, CMS data, which has its own strengths and limitations. It's pretty comprehensive. It covers about 96% of the elderly population, but it's hospitalization, so it means it's only the most severe cases. We considered spatial dependence as best as we could. We looked at, we did a variogram assessment, so there's a lot of stuff background that I didn't show you here, but we looked at spatial dependence. We also looked for age effects because we suspect that, of course, as immune function decreases, it tends to decrease as one ages. But this is also down at the population level. But there are, of course, a number of limitations that I should point out, and I'm sure you could add a few to these as well. We looked at one state and one season. And also, Florida itself is kind of an unusual state because it's the only contiguous state in the U.S. that has an almost tropical climate, so it may not necessarily be representative of all of the other states in the U.S. We probably can't necessarily at this stage extrapolate it to other states. And also, Florida is kind of unique because it's sort of a receptive for a lot of seasonal migration, particularly in this population. So a lot of people are coming from other states, Northeast, Midwest, in the winter and filling the hospitals and that kind of thing. So that may skew some of these results somewhat. And of course, the sample size is only 67 counties. So one of the reasons why we might not have observed an association is simply because of type 2 error, just not having the power to see an association. We didn't have a comparison group. We did find in earlier studies that vaccinating children may be effective at reducing flu in older adults as well against flu. And of course, it's an ecological type analysis, which is kind of what you have to do in this if you're looking at the population level. We didn't consider comorbidities. That is available in the Medicare data, but we didn't look at that in this particular study. We looked at effect modification only by age. We didn't look at it by socioeconomic status or urban, rural, or any of that other stuff that could potentially be important. But this sort of leads to some of the future research, and I'd be curious if you have any other suggestions. We found that there's suggestive but far from conclusive evidence that the vaccination is effective at preventing flu in the elderly. But we know, of course, that from our first year epi, that absence of evidence does not necessarily mean evidence of absence. And this, of course, this may be related to the power issue that I mentioned earlier. There's clearly a need for additional research, and I just pointed out a couple areas where I think that we could use to bolster some of our research. First of all, we don't have a national vaccine surveillance system. If you're curious afterwards, I'll tell you about a little experience I had with a person at the CDC at a conference last year, but there's no plans whatsoever to ever have a vaccination system, according to what I've been told. I think this, and it is available to some extent in other countries. All the data that we're getting is from surveys, so it's not the population level. So I think this is a need, a strong need that we could use to know where our vaccinations are going. Also, to match the vaccine strain to prevailing influenza strains, I think this is an important thing. Some of my colleagues today had mentioned that as well. Also, doing multi-level modeling, looking at this from the county, state, and individual level, and maybe other levels if available. And also comparing targeted populations for vaccine, such as children, because they are called often super spreaders, and looking also at other effect modification by geographic and other socioeconomic and demographic type factors. So I wanted to acknowledge our funding source and our data source providing the data. Of course, I'm happy to take any questions. If there are any questions I can't answer here, I'm happy to, please feel free to contact me. Here's my email and our research websites. So thank you very much.
All right. I'm gonna take the moderator's privilege and ask the first question.
Oh, sure.
How good was the match between the vaccine strains and the circulating strains in the year that you looked at?
In this particular year, the strain match was fairly good. In some of the surrounding years, it wasn't. So in 2003-04, the vaccine strain wasn't good, and actually it was a much more severe season. But in 2002-03, the match, I think from some of the serotyping, I think it was one of the better years.
And was it an H1N1 predominant season or an H3N2?
That's a good question. I'm getting all my years mixed up now. So that's a good question. I would have to...
Because obviously if it was an H1N1, you would expect less morbidity and mortality overall
exactly.
than an H3N2. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions for Dr. Cohen?
Yeah.
We can't hear you.
Sure. So if I understand your question is, the parameter actually stays the same, but the standard error increases quite a bit. Yeah. For the 85 plus? Yeah, it is still significant. That was one of the sort of, that was, I would say, a mysterious finding as to why that one was significant, remained significant while the others didn't. That's a great question. So we didn't look at gender. We did, a previous analysis, we did do it by gender, but this one we looked at all together because of the issue of, because we were looking only at Florida, we had a more limited number of cases. But that's a great direction to go. We did do it in previous studies, but in this particular one, gender, we didn't. Race and ethnicity is an interesting question because in the Medicare data, the way that they code race is different than it is in the census and other data sources, and it is I don't want to editorialize. It's a nightmare to try to match them up sometimes because they've changed several times in the course of our. We have data from 91 through 06, and I think the coding for race has changed about 5 or 6 times. So that's an issue that we didn't necessarily look at, but we could certainly adjust for. We didn't look at it specifically by race, but we could certainly adjust for. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I couldn't hear you. Oh, that's a good point. We did in some of our other studies. We looked at the Hispanic population, and which is coded pretty somewhat consistently throughout in Medicare, and that we did find unusually high rates in the Hispanic population in particular.
Any more questions? Yes.
Oh, that's a great question. They actually asked both. We looked at it just within this year. So there is a possibility that if they got it in previous years, they may have immune memory. Their immune memories may last for this particular season. So that's a good question. But the question that we looked at was just for in the previous year.
There's no recommendation for repeat pneumococcal vaccination.
No.
But if they'd ever gotten it, that should have been counted as vaccination.
That should have been, okay. Oh, that's very interesting. Thanks.
Any more questions for Dr. Cohen? Any questions for any of our presenters? And I guess we get to end early. All right. Thank you all. Thank you.